Scripture lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring back down as fugitives all the Babylonians and the ships in which they took their pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out, like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
I want to start just by myself welcoming the four of you. Welcome you, Pastor Mark and Heather and Rhett and Peyton. I am so glad you're here. So glad. And my husband has been a Methodist pastor for 35 years, and I've been in the mix for 30 of those years. And one thing I want to tell you that I think is great news, because I've been in your shoes sitting there on the first Sunday, is that this is a congregation that loves their pastors. This is a congregation that embraces their pastors and welcomes the unique things their pastors offer. So I hope it will be just a wonderful season for you here, and I'm glad you're here. I also want to welcome people who are here for the first time. I know it can kind of feel like you're showing up in someone's living room on a special family day, you know? We're really thrilled you're here too. And while we'll be talking a bit about this today, we also, the scriptures have stuff for each one of us in our individual lives too. So please settle in. We're so glad you're here with us. And you may wonder, on the Sunday that a pastor's here for the first time, why am I up here and he's not? And it's because he's really smart. Not because he's smart to have me up here, but because he has jet lag right now, and he knew ahead of time, having experienced it when he visited before, you don't want to preach on jet lag if you can help it. So Pastor John was looking for someone to preach today, and I knew he was having a little trouble finding someone, and I thought, oh, I'm off the hook. I couldn't think of what I would have to say. And then there was that moment where you sense the Holy Spirit's inviting you to maybe ask if there's anything God wants to say. And these scriptures we've just read came directly to my mind, and a sermon started forming, and I thought, oh, I'm not off the hook. So I'm here. And I would just ask you to pray with me for this time as we spend some time looking at God's Word. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are present with us today. We thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and we pray that for each one of us, as a community and as individuals, that you would use your word to touch our hearts and speak to us where you want us to hear your voice today. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to start by reading 20 words. And as I read these words, I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first is to think of a word that would serve as a good heading or subject or title under which all of these 20 words could fit. They all are related in some way. So think of one word that could be a title for these words. The other thing I'd ask you to think of, notice any feelings you have as I read these words. And your feelings might be a variety of feelings. They might not even be, they might even be in conflict with each other. So, and there will be a test, so let's go. Here are my 20 words. Changeover, development, growth, progress, shift, transformation, upheaval, realignment, turning point, new, adjustment, advance, difference, innovation, modification, reconstruction, refinement, and remodeling. This is not a rhetorical question. What are some words that might serve as a title over all of those words, or a subject or a heading? I mean it, like toss them out.
Change.
Challenge. Huh? Transformation. Anyone else?
Transition.
You know, guys, you're awesome because those 20 words came from the thesaurus for the words transition and change. And you were on it even with the other words, too. So here's my final part of the test, you know, this non-rhetorical question. Did you have any feelings that surfaced as you heard those words? Just toss out feeling words.
Joy.
Hope. Excitement and fear. What were you going to say? Pain? Yeah. Here were my four words that came for me. Unsettled, excited, fearful, and hopeful. So we're on the same page, right? So our theme today as we're looking at these passages is transition and change. And that's a theme that our church is obviously going through. For those who are new, you can see that as we have a new pastor. But it's also, for each one of us, we're moving from an old year into a new year. And in unique ways in our own lives, we may be moving from old seasons to new seasons. And so let's see what God might speak to us through the scripture. If we can have Matthew 9, 14 through 17 back up there again. I'm going to read it one more time. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins." This is the part I really sensed right as I was asking about preaching. This was the verse. "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So, I'm not what you call a biblical scholar. So I did a little research from those who are to ask, what's going on in this passage? And started with the question of old wine. And there seems to be some agreement that old wine in this passage is referring, Jesus referring to the old covenant, okay? And the old covenant is the season of the law found in the Old Testament, where by following the law, the Jewish people identified themselves as part of God's covenant community. So we've got the old wine and the Old Testament, the old law. Then we have the new wine, which the scholars are saying is new covenant. It's a symbol for the new covenant. And I want to stay here for just a second because it never gets old hearing this story. The new covenant is when Jesus broke into time and space to come, you know, we just experienced at Christmas, right? And showed us the life he intended for us in his life. But then at the key moment in human history, died on the cross to forgive us for our sins, to take the punishment, rose from the dead, and then when he ascended back into heaven, left us the Holy Spirit, so that now we have the power we didn't have under the old covenant. We couldn't follow those laws. We blew it. But under the new covenant, we have the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We have access through the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us when we come to faith in Jesus. So we have old wine, old covenant, new wine, new covenant. And then we have these wineskins. And those, they tell me, are the skins of animals sewn together so you can pour wine in them, right? Now, if you have a new wineskin, it's elastic. And as the new wine starts to ferment and bubble and get bigger and bigger, the new wineskin just expands and adjusts to it. But an old wineskin, it's already done that with previous wine in the past. And now it's not elastic. And so when you pour new wine into an old wineskin, it breaks and the wine spills out, okay? So here, as we have this picture of new wineskins and old wineskins, the skins are like the structure or the ways of doing things, the traditions, the ways of thinking, the mindsets that we have. And there was a huge shift from the old covenant to the new covenant, okay? And then finally in this passage is all here because Jesus was asked a question. The question was about fasting. It was, why do John's disciples fast, but your disciples, they don't fast, Jesus? And he said, because, yes, there was fasting in the old covenant, and there will be fasting again. It'll be deeper and richer and more full of life and draw you into intimacy with me. It doesn't say it there, but it's true. Because in the new covenant with Jesus, everything is better. But in the middle, in this transition time period, he says, you're not going to fast. Because the bridegroom is here. Enjoy just being with me. Celebrate relationship with me. And then you'll move on, okay, into the new covenant. So there's our background. As we then ask the question, Lord, what would you want to say to us in the midst of the transitions in our lives? Corporately as a church, going through a major transition right now, but also as individuals in the transitions in our own lives. Okay, so I'm going to propose that there are three things for us to consider, and we'll look at examples church-wise and then individually. But first, that we, if you think of us as wineskins, that we need to shed in transition, we shed the old wineskin. Because it was great. It did what it was supposed to do for its time period, but the time is done. We shed it because it can't really contain the new thing God's doing. And then we take on the new wineskin, where we're flexible and open and able to receive the new wine God's bringing. And then, remember that part where there was fasting in the old covenant, fasting in the new covenant, but not during the transition, that key point in human history while Jesus was on the planet? I'm going to try this. It might be a little stretch. Forgive me if it is. But during this transition point, you know, Jesus is saying, no, you're not going to do that work. You're just going to focus on me and on relationship. I wonder if it could apply this way to our church. We had the work of the church we did with John and Denise, and then we took a little time toward the end, right before they left, and we just focused on relationship. We just enjoyed them. We celebrated them. And I'm going to propose that right now we're supposed to continue that relational focus as we get to know our new pastor, as we share our stories, as we listen to their stories, and then we'll start the work of the church again a little more, you know, the moving forward, the what's next. And so here we are in a transition. And when we lay down old wineskins, so I'm going to go through those three things for our church. I want to say old wineskins aren't bad. They just have, their time is done. And grief is involved. Grief is involved when you let go of old things. Okay? And this is something I have perspective on because I've been a pastor's wife and I've left a church and I've moved to a new one. We're all grieving, those of us who loved our last pastor, but they're grieving too. They just left a church that they love. And they came here intentionally, like they want to be here. But they're going through it too. And John and Denise, our last pastor, they're feeling it right now in Tennessee. And so let's just give space for us as we shed the old wineskin that we can grieve and we can let the elephant in the room be named. There might be a moment that you just tell your pastor, oh, I'm kind of missing John today, you know? And that's okay. And he can say, I'm missing my people, you know, where I came from. And that's okay. That's part of shedding old wineskins. The other thing is, it's intentionally saying, I'm going to let go of all my ways of thinking and I'm going to be open. There might be some things that worked in the past that I need to let go of and think differently, okay? Then there's the taking up the new wineskins. Oh, no, I've got to tell you this story. I'm sorry, back up. My husband, Bill, at our last church 17 years ago, we were there for 16 years. 3 months in, he's doing a children's sermon. And this sermon is about how we're all a part of the body of Christ. And he took the picture of a wall, and we're each a brick. And every brick's important, because if you take too many of those bricks out, the wall falls, right? So he's in the middle of this cute little children's sermon, and all of a sudden, he has a grief moment. And he realizes, these people here aren't yet my bricks, and I just left my bricks back at my last church. And he felt really sad right in the middle of his sermon. That's the kind of thing that grief can look like. But the really good news is, when we moved here last year, 16 years later, guess who were our bricks that we said goodbye to that we're missing now? The people that were sitting there that day that we didn't know very well then, right? And so God is faithful. In the midst of the grief, he's faithful. He's faithful. Okay, now picking up the new wineskins, which involves making ourselves ready and flexible and expandable to receive the new thing God's doing, right, in our midst. And I think back to a time in our last church where our church had had a really great committee structure and it had worked for a lot of years, and it stopped working. People started working, both people in a couple were working full time. Nobody wanted to be on a committee anymore. Nobody wanted to be a chair of this. Nobody wanted to do that. What are we going to do? And our church prayed and laid down our old way of thinking and picked up a new way of thinking, which was asking each person to ask the Lord, where am I gifted? And I'll serve there. And if it's out in the community and it's not a church program, that counts. If I'm someone who's leading a Bible study or a prayer time at work as a teacher during lunch, that counts. If I'm wanting to help with the community food bank, that counts. And we just released people to do what God was leading them to do, and we let go of our old structure. There was a lot of life and new wine that came into our church at that time. So that's an example. And then that whole idea of focusing on relationship in the middle of the transition. When we moved here last year, my husband and I are missionaries with a mission agency, and we were trained that it's important for a team to back up and build relationship with the new people on the team and onboard them before you start moving ahead together. And our team did that for us. They took time to get to know us, to hear our stories and share their stories with us. And now we're a year later and we're moving ahead together because people took that time. But it's not just relationship with each other. I think during transition, we especially need to be connecting with Jesus. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be praying. We need to be inviting God in to empower us to receive the new season. Okay? So that's as a church. But I also want to give an example as an individual of what it's like to go through transition. I am 52 years old, and I am just in the full-fledged empty nest. I am now, all my kids are 25, 23, 21, and they live in Oregon in the United States, okay? And I've had a hard time with this transition. I miss my kids more than you would ever guess. It is just really tough. So I've had to go through this process of laying down old wineskins. Like the old wineskin was this. The baby cried in the other room and I woke up at night and I ran and got the baby and held the baby, and that was right for that time, right? And then in high school, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, oh, did she get home from the party? And I'd go check and see if the car was in the driveway, and then I'd check her room and she'd be there, right? But that's not the wineskin for now. I'm not supposed to be checking on my kids every 5 minutes. I'm supposed to be releasing and trusting God with them and available as they want it and giving them freedom to grow. And so I've struggled with this, and there's been grief. And Esther, who's right here, we were out for lunch this week, and we're talking. She's Czech, and I'm American, and I speak English. And we were talking about donuts. This was crazy. And we were talking about maple bars and how some people in the U.S., at least in my state, like to put bacon on the top of their maple bar. That seems like not a very grief-filled conversation, right? However, I went into free association. From telling her about these maple bars we eat in Oregon, I thought of the donut shop 2 blocks from my house that I left a year ago. I thought of my daughter's favorite donut. I pictured myself walking into her bedroom and waking her up and her smiling, and then me rubbing her back and seeing her sleepy little face, and I just started crying while we're having lunch because I had a grief moment, right? And that's part of laying down old wineskins, because I don't get to do that now. And it was good, but it's time to be in a different season. And so I'm letting go of that. And the new wineskin is, the other night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I checked my phone, and one of my kids had posted something on social media that told me they aren't doing very well. And I wanted to call them, like the mom who runs to get the baby, right? And the Lord said, no, the new wineskin is you trust and you pray and you're here if they call you, right? And so I got back into bed, and I just invited the Holy Spirit to help me embrace this new season that's hard for me. And the relationship part that I mentioned in the middle of transition, we've been working hard with each of our kids, like, what's good for you? What kind of communication is working for you? And really working to have our new relational, I don't know how you'd say it. Just with each one, we're trying really hard with that. But also here, God's calling me to focus on relationships, to get to know Esther and my new pastor and wife, right? And so that's the work of transition for me right now. So my question for you, you probably aren't 52 and in an empty nest. I'm just guessing from looking. So what is your transition personally as you go from an old year into a new year? As you maybe move to a new place or move into a new relationship or out of one, into a new season of your life, are there old wineskins God is encouraging you to shed? Are there new wineskins, a new openness to the new thing God's doing that he's asking you to open yourself up to? Are there relationships right now that God wants you to focus on, both with people and with him, to help you move into the next season? So I want to close with this passage from Isaiah, just a little bit of it, because I believe this passage, it's about transition. It's about Isaiah, God using Isaiah to speak to the Israelites who are moving from being in exile in Egypt, moving back home. That's a transition, right? And as he speaks into it, there are 2 promises that I saw and 2 invitations. And so if we can do... Isaiah 43, verse 1. Toward the end there, it says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." An invitation, do not fear. We have a choice. Like in the middle of the night, I got to nurse my fear about my child, or I got to choose to trust, and I got to choose to pray. We have to choose that as we enter transitions. And then verse 2, please. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." There's a promise here, no matter what's coming, the good stuff, the hard stuff, he will be with you. He will be with us. He can be trusted to not leave us alone. And then verses 18 and 19. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I think this is an invitation to being open, to looking for, leaning toward the new thing, to preparing ourselves and saying, yes, I'm ready. Let's go. The new time has come. And that's a choice. And to be very honest with you, I've spent the last year and a half resisting moving toward that in my own life with my kids and accepting that the old season is over. It's a choice. It's a choice. And then finally, verses 20 and 21. Let's see. I'm not sure. It starts with because, I think. Oh, I see. I'll start in the middle. That's fine. Because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. He provides. And this is water here he's mentioning. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. He's going to provide us with everything we need from his Holy Spirit for the transitions we move through. And in the end, the final word is we'll be praising him. We'll be praising him. That's in our individual lives. That's also in our church life. You know, we just spent two Sundays ago praising God for all God did in the last season with Pastor John and Denise. You know what, guys? That's what's coming. Is that happens all over again in this new season. A lot to praise God for. We have much to look forward to. So here's how we're going to end it. Really, the way that we become those new wineskins open to the new work that God is doing, the new wine, is we surrender our hearts. We open ourselves up and we let go of our will. We let go of our ways. We let go of our old ways of thinking, and we say, God, your way. And there's no better prayer for that, in my opinion, than the Wesley's Covenant Prayer, which is one that in our churches we often prayed on the Sunday moving into the new year. And so will you put it up there? I'm going to read it to you first, so you can actually think through the words before we pray it together. So it's not, so you mean it. and I'm going to use these words because mine are the old version. So yeah, if you'd put that up there. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and for us to pray this prayer together as we invite God to move with us into the new seasons in our lives and as a church. So let's pray together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.